This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
I do want to say my partner, Martin Kilcoyne, is in Wisconsin, and he is doing some outdoor sports. You know, Martin, an avid fisherman, hunter, you know.
We're all thinking about his attire. Now, I brought up, you know, the big barrel hats,
yes,
with the mosquito nets covering the face.
And I think the white sunscreen splashed all over his nose.
Cargo shorts he just bought.
Yes. Maybe black socks and tennis shoes. Yeah.
Cell phone on the belt buckle, kind of clipped
exactly,
in there,
yeah.
ready for action.
The lovely Kim is with him, and so is Carson, his incredible young man. And there was a picture of Carson that he tweeted out fishing. And I'm sure Martin, you know, an avid fisherman, you know, is teaching Carson all the inside moves there of becoming a good fisherman. All right, let's welcome to the program the Hall of Famer, the one and only Rick Hummel. Rick, great to be with you. How are you, sir?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
Good. How many consecutive All-Star games, or how many total All-Star games for you now?
Well, that was 40 in a row. That's a Tuesday.
Wow.
So it's changed a little bit over the years. I came up in the, you know, the Pete Rose era when Pete Rose would go stomping in front of the players on the bench, exhorting them that, you know, they had to win this for National League pride. You know, it's just not quite the same anymore. I mean, they play, they want to win for their league, they want to do well for themselves and for their team, but it was a big deal back in the 80s and even the 70s before that.
Do you want to stop at 40, or was 40 a significant number, or do you just want to keep this going as long as you can?
Well, as long as I can, but there's a couple other numbers I had in mind. The next year is in Los Angeles, and it'll be my 41st, but it'll be the 40th anniversary of my first one in 1980, so I'd like to do that. And L.A. hasn't had one since then, since 1980. Anaheim's had a couple, but not L.A. And then I'd like to go to Atlanta and the one after that. And then after that, I don't know. But I like to keep that going as long as I can, I guess.
You're kind of like Albert Pujols with all these career milestones every year.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Doesn't that game speak volumes about the way the sport has gone with the strikeouts? I mean, Shane Bieber is the MVP of the All-Star game for simply having one inning where he strikes out the side.
Yeah, that was a tough call to decide who the MVP was. You could have had, I guess, Brantley drove in the first run, the next Cleveland player. And, you know, Chapman struck out the last three guys, but I think the vote had already been made by then, you know, so it wasn't much to determine. I don't think anybody had two hits even in the All-Star on any one team, did they?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, yeah.
Huh. Any former stars, former legends in Cleveland that kind of jumped out at you? It was good to see again?
Not really. I mean, I don't really know Sabathia, who was there, and is retiring from the Yankees this year, but he was a longtime Cleveland star. No, I don't know. I didn't see the softball game. I don't know what legend showed up for that one. But there was a pretty good crew of players, a lot of young players. I was disappointed. I know the home run derby looked like a big deal on TV, and it was kind of fun to be there. But and the competition was great. But I want to see Yelich and Bellinger and Trout, you know, the best players in the game, hit the try to. I know they don't necessarily want to do that. Those are the guys I want to see in those things.
All right, let's get to the Cardinals as we get ready for the stretch drive. Do you believe that Mike Schilt will find a way to get Jairo Munoz in the lineup early and often?
Yes, but he also has to find a way to get Matt Carpenter and Tommy Edmond in the lineup. So there's three guys there for one or two spots. You'd have to create one for Munoz, maybe. You have to. There's outfielding time to be had probably till Ozuna comes back. And when Ozuna comes back, there probably isn't outfield time to be had. So they do well when Munoz plays. He's got a little different flair about him. He's on base a lot. He plays the positions. He's played third base okay. And Shortstop, okay, but what limited time he's had there. Second base, all right. Outfield, we haven't seen too much of him. But when Carpenter returns, which I'm assuming will be tomorrow night, he's going to have to play a lot just to get going again. You can't not play him. You're paying him $18 million. You can't have him sit on the bench. You got to play him.
So with that said, if Colton Wong is actually better than Harrison Bader, which he is offensively, then why wouldn't you just think about playing Colton Wong at second, Carpenter at third, and putting Munoz in center?
We could, but you could also play Fowler in center, who's done pretty well there. And he's been doing very well offensively the last, I'd say, 10 to 12 days. And Martinez in right, and Ozuna in left when he's back now. I would think Martinez... I think I've seen enough of Tyler O'Neill for a little while now to see that he's okay. But they brought him up to be hitting for power, and he's been delivering singles. That's no good.
So, and you also believe with this offensive challenged organization, Jose Martinez has got to be in there getting at least three at bats a night in, right?
Yeah.
So Bader's not going to play. Is that the way you see it?
Well, Bader will play every ninth inning if we're ahead. There is some importance to his being on the club because Martinez should not be in the outfield after about the seventh inning unless you're way behind and you need offense later on. But Bader needs to play the last couple innings. That doesn't do him any good. In an ideal world, he probably should be down in Memphis taking at bats every day, but they don't have that kind of luxury with Ozuna out.
Well, what do you think they did during the break? Did they just tell Harrison, okay, just get away from it all, clear your head, and come back? Or do you think they had him work with somebody every day?
No, I think all the players needed to clear their heads. I don't think anybody did much work during the All-Star break. So they do a little bit tonight and then a little bit. You know, they'll have a good, strong workout tomorrow before the game. But I think that season's so long, you just need to get away from even the good players need to get away from it, clear their heads.
The Carpenter thing is the most mysterious of them all because he's not that old. But there are examples of players, you know, dropping off the face of the earth. Some of it is because of injury. I think about Alan Craig in 2013 when he had 97 RBIs with an 830 OPS. And then all of a sudden, he's no longer Alan Craig and he's out of the league. Are we looking at something like this with Carpenter? Or is there a possibility that this is the ending for him? Or what do you think?
I don't think so, but I don't know how much his back's been bothering him. That's the key. It's hard to play with a bad back.
Sure.
And I don't know that we'll find out, but we have to find out. Tommy Edman's been the flavor of the month, and they've played well with him in the lineup, and he's done a lot. He's hit three home runs already for now. Molina's got four for the whole season, although he's been hurt a little bit. So I think Carpenter's got to play now. Does he bat first? That's the question. And Edmund's done very well there. Well, not very well. He's actually hit better down the lineup a little bit. But you could bat Carpenter somewhere else in the lineup. But he has to play. You have to play him, I think, for at least these 2 weeks before the trade deadline to see, okay, where are we here?
Are you more confident that Paul Goldschmidt is starting to figure it out? And he had some big moments right at the end of the break.
So I'm very confident. I see the ball coming off his bat and going to all fields. He didn't compile the numbers he had the last 5 or 6 years by trying to pull everything like it looked like he's tried to do this year. So I see balls going out to right and right center field, and he should be comfortable. Well, maybe, I don't know how comfortable you are facing the guys you played with for 5 or 6 years when Arizona comes in, but he should be. Yeah, I like the way he's playing, and it would be ideal to have him and Ozuna hitting back-to-back, which has happened very little this year because when Ozuna was here, Goldschmidt hit second most of the time. But I want to see that. The young Ozuna and Goldschmidt hitting in succession, that's a pretty good three there.
The Hall of Famer Rick Hummel with us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. So Madison Bumgarner is going to be maybe the most talked-about name as we get closer and closer to the trade deadline. Does it make sense for the Cardinals if he's healthy?
Yeah, I don't know how healthy he is. If he took that line drive by Martinez off his elbow the other day, we haven't heard anything more about it because nobody's played any games since then. But that's the first thing you need to find out if he's all right. And then, yeah, he helps anybody. Now, there is reason to believe he might consider the Cardinals as one of the teams he would go to. And they may be on his list, but that doesn't mean anything. You can negotiate that. He has, as I understand it, most of the top teams in baseball are on his list. The Yankees, Boston, you know, that's just kind of a negotiating situation to have them on your list as places not to go to, because you can still work that out. Now, what do you have to give up for him? They'll want young pitching. And I don't know about position players, but they'll certainly want young pitching. And the Cardinals have some. They don't have a lot anymore. They have some.
So would a package of Gomber, O'Neill, and a double-A prospect be enough?
No, well, Gomber's not even pitching right now.
Yeah.
That's bad. It would have been.
That's why I offered him.
Yeah, he won a bunch of games right away in Memphis, which was their best pitcher. He would have been up before any of these other guys. He was the best guy they had. I'm sure a guy like Woodford is attracting attention. He had a couple scoreless innings in the AAA All-Star game last night and has been Memphis's best pitcher much of the season. And he's not on the 40-man roster, and I'm sure he's a guy who the Cardinals will hang on to, but also a guy that will draw a lot of interest. Now, he's not this flamethrower guy. He throws 90s, all right, but he's got great control, very smart, a lot of pitches. So there's a guy that teams might want. Ponce de Leon's a guy that a lot of teams might want, but you might want him more. And Reyes's injury, a succession of injuries, I should say, complicates matters a little bit. You don't know, I don't know where he figures anymore, but you think by August or even by the end of this month, he should be here. And then you got to find out, can he pitch or not? So they have a lot of things to find out about their young pitching here in the next couple of weeks.
Do you think John Mozeliak and Mike Schilt have had a conversation about moving Ponce de Leon in the starting rotation for good during this break, or do you think they're committed to Michael Wacha for the time being?
Well, I think they thought about it a lot. I think Wacha will get the next start against Pittsburgh on Tuesday when that time comes around. I do not know how long his rope is, because every time Ponce de Leon pitches, which was twice in the last week, and he had 4 2/3 scoreless innings and just eating them up. He's and Schilt made it clear that he's ready for more primetime assignments. Well, that means starting. They don't need him in the back end of the bullpen. They're okay there. But Waka's been, every time Waka has a bad game, he comes back with a good one. Like even in the last trip there, he pitched very well against San Diego, although he lost. And then Seattle, he was not good. And now with Pittsburgh, a team he's had some success with over the years, who knows? But he's not hurt. He's just not quite the same Michael Wacha you're used to seeing or want to see. But another poor start or two by Wacha, that'll be the end of that, and Ponce de Leon will be in there.
What do you make of Jack Flaherty's first half, where he's gone 9 consecutive starts without a victory? I know wins are not what the analytics people look at, but still 9 times without a victory.
Well, the one I look at is the team lost 7 of those games. Now, the other day was a crime. That's a victory for no hitter till the 7th. You got to win that game, and they didn't even score. He allowed 1 run on 2 hits, and that was it. Well, 1 run on 1 hit, and the next batter got a bloop single. So he's had a losing record. The team's had a losing record since he's been here. Even last year, they had a losing record, even though he pitched pretty well. But if last Sunday was any indication, then there's hope this will turn around a little bit. But Jack hasn't been quite the bellwether that he should be or will be. Maybe we're expecting too much too soon from him, but I think that's something to look at. And also, Michaelis is 5-9, and that's your 18-game winner of last year. He's going to have to be a lot better.
When they signed Miles Michaelis to that extension, I don't remember reading your opinion piece on it, but what was your opinion?
I thought that at that point, it was either going to be he or Michael Wacha getting a long-term extension, and they had more confidence in Michaelis staying healthy, which has turned out to be right. Wacha was injured a little bit. There's nothing serious, but even though I think Michaelis is older than Wacha. So I thought it was all right. 18-4 was a pretty dominant year last year, and for some reason, he hasn't looked like nearly the same pitcher. I've talked to some people that some broadcasters and scouts and other people that think that Michaelis's slider is just kind of flattened out on him, which is one of his good pitches last year. That's a pitch he needs to, I guess, rediscover or something, or not re- or just, you know, make it better somehow. and maybe he'll be a little better the second half, but he's going to have to be a lot better the second half.
When they gave Matt Carpenter his extension, your opinion was what?
I was surprised at that time that they did it because they had an option year on his contract for next year anyway. And all I could figure out was that they wanted him to be able to be comfortable at the start of the year and get off to a better start than he did when he was so awful for the first 6 weeks of last year. Well, he wasn't awful the first 6 to 8 weeks or 10 weeks of this year, but he wasn't very good. So that extension didn't seem to make a lot of sense in retrospect because they already had him. Michaelis could have been a free agent at the end of the season.
You know, Kamish, I know this doesn't sound like it's too groundbreaking, but to win, you have to have star players. Chicago has star players. In Milwaukee, they have Christian Yelich, who may become the first player in baseball history to go 50-30. 50 home runs and 30 stolen bases. Nobody's ever done that. Where is, I mean, if Paul Goldschmidt is on the downside of his career, where is the star in the organization right now? I'm not talking single A, double A, triple A. Who has, like, superstar or star potential?
Well, they don't have any superstar potential in their organization, I don't think, either currently or elsewhere. I mean, Goldschmidt's going to hit 30 home runs. That's star talent, certainly.
Yeah.
But he doesn't. He's not the same. He's not going to steal 30 bases. He had, in fact, he hadn't stolen any. This is a guy that has stolen 30 bases before in his career. He has none. He's only tried once. Of course, that's not why he's here, is to steal bases. But you'd think the opportunity would have arisen somewhere along the line. I mean, he has no stolen bases, considering that Molina has, you know, six or something like that, and Ozuna's got 8 or 9. But they don't have any. There are no superstars. You know, Hicks had a chance to be, and still has a chance to be, a superstar reliever, I think. But down below, I don't know about those, all those third basemen. You can't tell till they get up here. Dylan Carlson's going to be a nice player, I think. And Gorman will be a nice player, and then some other guys. But that's, as far as superstar, I mean, Albert Pujols was a superstar. That's the last superstar they've had here.
Yeah, you mentioned Carlson and Gorman. Of everybody in the organization, let's throw Hicks out of the equation since he's injured. And you know the farm system a little bit. You watch them and you follow them. Who do you think has the best chance of being the next big thing in St. Louis?
Maybe Carlson. He's up at double A now at Springfield. He should play triple A either by the end of this year or next year. He's a good outfielder, speed, got power. But I don't ever see him as a superstar player. But I think he's the next guy, next minor leaguer position player to make any kind of impact. I think Woodford will be the next minor league pitcher to make any kind of impact.
Hmm. Somebody just texting in, tell the Blues, Frank, you don't need a superstar. Of course, you could argue that Ryan O'Reilly played like a superstar this year, and Vladimir Tarasenko has scored as many goals as anybody over the last 5 years.
I mean, Binnington played like a
superstar
for long stretches of the postseason.
I guess what you're looking at here is the definition of superstar. And I kind of put that up there with Henry Aaron and Willie Mays and Musial and people like that. You know, being a star is okay.
All right. Kamish, unlike most beat writers and many baseball writers, you always seem to have kind of an optimistic look at things. You are a glass half full as opposed to glass half empty guy. So, with that said, if you had to lay down a milkshake bet, Cardinals in the postseason, what do you think?
Well, I think I'm optimistic you have a very good chance, but I think the Cubs have a better club. Now, can you get two teams from this division in? I don't know. It looked as if you might for a while, and then Washington went crazy, and now they're in wild card position, and with Scherzer pitching great and Strasburg and Corbin. So I would say no right now, but then it doesn't matter what your record is in the Central Division. You just have to be in first place. You just need to get to the dance, whether you get there in a limousine or a pickup truck. You just have to get there, and then, you know, if the Dodgers won 100 games, you know, you're not playing against the Dodgers right now. You're not playing against Atlanta. You're playing against the Cubs, Milwaukee, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and mostly you're playing against yourself. You just have to play better than 44-44.
Okay, final thought. I often criticize the 1970s callers to KMOX Sports Open Line on, you know, how do you get Willie Mays? Will you package
Steve Swisher? But yeah, I know.
Yeah, like it's a classic KMOX Sports Open Line trade, and I was kind of guilty of that by packaging Tyler O'Neill and Austin Gomber and a double-A prospect. So you give me, before we let you go, something realistic that could get Madison Bumgarner here.
Well, I think I don't know how what Kevin Millar's future, Kevin Pillar's future in San Francisco. He's a very good center fielder. But Vader would help a lot of teams. But they already have a guy like that who's a better hitter, so maybe he's not the right fit for San Francisco. But I think he's going to be on the list of people that would go somewhere. I think you'd have to give them if they want Ponce de Leon, it's going to be a hard give. You have to have an idea first if Bumgarner has interest in staying around after the end of this season. He's 29. He'll be 30 by the end of the year. And I would hate to have him only for his 29-30 season here and not anymore by giving up too much for him. If you had reason to believe he would stay around, I would put Bader in there, and I would consider Ponce de Leon or somebody like that, or a healthy Gomber, who's not going to be healthy enough to make that deal by then. I would maybe look at Woodford, but it's going to take those two and maybe just two like that if he's only a rental player. But, it depends, first of all, how his arm is. His left arm was hit by a ball. And second, do you have a chance to have him pitch for the Cardinals in 2000 and in 2020?
But how often does that happen now when a trade's being made that you get a pulse for a looming free agent that he'd actually stay? Isn't that pretty rare nowadays?
Oh, I think you can ask around a little bit. There's guys that know Bumgarner from the Cardinals that may even have talked to him when they were out there. You know, if we got you, would you stay? Well, I don't know that. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if that the conversation like that might have taken place.
Hmm. Good stuff, Kamish. Honored to talk to you today, and we will see you at the ballpark this weekend, sir.
Bet, guys.
Thank you. Rick Hummel joining us on the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Brought to you by Lakeside Roofing, established in 72, solid rep for excellence in the roofing industry. Their philosophy is focused around a relentless commitment to customer service, quality products, and outstanding workmanship. Lakeside Roofing's rep is one of reliability, trust, high-quality work, competitive pricing. They feature the finest quality roofing materials and provide expert installation. Call the professionals at Lakeside Roofing for your home or business. 618-344-2800. In Missouri, call 314-241-5253. Find them online at lakesideroofing.com. We'll be right back.